Are you ready to turn up the heat on true crime? From blazing mysteries to scorched evidence, Crime to Burn is the podcast that dives into the world of criminal fires. Whether it's arson, cover-ups, or unsolved mysteries, we're lighting up the case files on every story.
With over 20 years of experience as a fire protection engineer, I'm here to help you understand the physics of fire and relate it to what investigators found.
Because if anybody can make true crime less terrifying, it's me.
Join us as we sift through the ashes to bring you the story behind criminal fires, including arson, bombings, and criminal negligence.
And I make sure you don't need therapy after. Tune in for a mix of expert insight, twisted tales, and a few laughs along the way. Crime to Burn, because sometimes the truth is hotter than fiction.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
And I know the answer to the question that everyone keeps asking. I know why you did this. You did this simply because you were not in a cage.
But was she dead on the day I arrived?
She was dead when he killed her.
I agree with the family. I hope you die in prison as well. It disgusts me that you are allowed to exist.
In Cape Coral, Florida, population 200,000, a peninsula with a lovely tropical climate averaging 355 days a year of sunshine. On July 22, 2023, 35-year-old Christopher Davis called police concerned over his 56-year-old live-in boyfriend Barry Schmalbach, who had seemingly ghosted him and wasn't replying to his calls or text messages.
Yeah, I'll hear it, Officer Lily.
Hi, sir. Good, dude's come in. Yep, what's going on? So my boyfriend Barry hadn't been home in a few days. He told me he was one of your friends. Friends calling me today said they had hurt her. Now I'm calling. I'm beginning to get in the most stages of worried. Right? He did leave his Apple Watch here. I just turned it on. And apparently he was having an Italian dinner with someone last night. And I glared that thing might be taking like a different. Okay.
Kind of shape, but he is not responding to me or his friends. So I saw in the notes, it said that he needed some space and scale.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so we had like an open relationship, and he's been talking to guys on Grindr and like doing that kind of thing. So that's what he like. That's what I took the space to mean, and it's because he goes out of town all the time. And if you want to look at my phone, I can show you he's done this 3 or 4 times, where he's on there one.
Well, because he said anything that would alarm you, like he wants to harm himself.
No, he hasn't called you up to harm himself.
He just said he needed some space.
Yeah.
Well, I get it, Rip. You over here. Holy cow. You're at lunch.
So, this is me texting him. Please excuse him to read Jane to accept.
That's fine.
But this is what he said. And then if you look here, if you want to go back, you can see where, like, he's ghosted me before. What day was this? Her days? This one right here?
Yeah, well, what is all that? Is that from yesterday?
No. This is from another time. This is from about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Where he did this same thing, which is why I did initially, like, freak out. But, like, have more and more freak growing in.
I don't know if she's got, like, maybe he's having like a stroke problem. Or, like he said, no. And he said, like, no secrets. But like I said, he goes and leaves. Like, he does business from home. I don't
know.
Okay. And so he leaves and goes. He was just in Wisconsin for 2 weeks. He was in Los Angeles San Diego for 2 weeks. He goes. He was just in Chicago before that. Okay. So when is the last time that we do look and see? This is what I'm saying. It's like, this has happened. Is this all you?
Yeah, this is all me.
Okay, he's at this line back.
Yeah, so that was on July 5th.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying is like, this happens all the time.
Okay.
And so, I don't know what to do, but I wanted to go ahead and file a report because his friends are now saying that, like, I need to, because he's not responding to them. and
French. You, the ones that went to Italian dinner.
No, not the Italian dinner. The Italian dinner. I turned on his fucking Apple Watch, Joshua.
I mean, do you have something that tracks him, like 360 or something like that?
So he turns, so the tracking goes to this, and that's why he left his fucking watch here.
This is a clear watch. So you couldn't?
I couldn't fucking track it because I follow his watch in an answer.
Okay.
But I went into it. And so this is what I found. Everybody's messaging him, where are you, where are you, where are you? And then this came up.
Let's see.
And this was our, I'm sorry. And this was just...
Itchy.
How did you put about the toy the yesterday? I thought we might try that to Chinese place that open the bikes.
And since I can't tell them all, I can't see the back and forth, so until this person messages him again?
That's yesterday at 5 p.m. And he does have his cell phone with him?
Yes.
Here we have to, okay. And there was an upgrading with any type of harmonium soft or nothing like that.
There we go.
In here, like I said, about his own shrubs that I know of.
Hey, my elevator agency
hasn't made mention, you know, that he may or may not have partaken in cocaine, that kind of thing. That's your party, you know, it's like humpers.
Recreational, he's not trouble for anything.
But yeah, so I was on my way to Walmart today, and his friend called and was like, hey, what's up? And I was like, okay, I'm on my way to Walmart. He was like, where's Barry? And I was like, I thought Barry was with you. Because that's what he meant, because that's what I thought he said when he said he was going to go stay with friend.
Right, right. You said he does go out of town, which he directs. Huh. All right, is his vehicle here? Did he take a vehicle?
No, he did take his vehicle, but he never takes a vehicle.
Does he deal like an Uber or something like that? Yeah, you were there.
Yes, every time he goes to Bear, of course.
Every single time. He never takes the car out of town. Because he leaves it here, so
that works. Okay. All right. Well, this is what we got, okay? But you say he doesn't want to harm himself, and he says he needs space and all the others. I can document what you have him not being here for a while. But under the circumstances, I can't do a missing persons report because there's nothing that showed that he's in danger. He hasn't said anything.
And what if he's not here tonight? What if he's not here tomorrow?
You can call us again. But like I said, under the circumstances, there's nothing I can do for a missing person because it doesn't meet the criteria of anything in danger or anybody that wants to harm himself.
Okay.
So under the circumstances, I'm just kind of hoping that maybe he is staying away from his space.
I'm from Alaska.
Really? From Alaska? Wow. What part? Alaska. Yeah. Girl, what were you?
That's, is that the one all the way out west?
It is.
So you got Seattle Mouth, what do you call it?
Oh, no. So it's not out west. I'm sorry. It's on the tip of the Kenai Peninsula. It's like where the boats from the Death Cache in the region.
Yes. That's where I'm thinking. Okay. Because I knew I saw him or somewhere.
Well, what's your first name?
Christopher?
Xavier?
Who am I, Chris? Christopher.
Christopher.
Christopher, what's your middle initial?
G?
Date of birth?
6/9/89.
Yeah, it's out of Alaska, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, just give me a mail, Lisa. I'm just gonna go put it in there, and we saw that actually goes in the where I'm gonna write. Well, anyways, like I said, Christopher, give it a little bit of time. Like I said, he needed space. All right, well, oh, my God. Oops, sorry.
Tuesday or Wednesday?
Yeah, that's fine. Like I said, you can do that, because it's going to show a little, I'm going to put a little report in there with a couple paragraphs. Stating what you told me, what the situation is. Sometimes he leaves, and I'm just going to put in there at the time he, you know, he doesn't want to harm himself. You know, stuff like that.
I think Jeff was such a mom or pun, so
okay, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So other than that, like I said, call Sienna if he needs. I hope he calls back, all right? So, all right.
Every day. You're welcome. Barry had been originally from Chicago, where he had been a VP buyer for a food depot, which is like a restaurant wholesaler. He was gregarious and friendly and made friends very easily. He was also good at staying in contact with his friends, so he had a number of really close friends that he was in regular contact with. One such friend was his best friend Miguel Blanco, who had worked with him in Chicago. Miguel had moved to Florida back in 2013 and a year later had met and married his husband, Tom Wilson, and then the couple had settled with a couple of male roommates in Cape Coral. Barry then left the restaurant business maybe in 2020, somewhere around there, and then moved to Naples, Florida, where he had started his own business selling like paper products. And in late 2021 or early 2022, he moved to Cape Coral to be closer to Miguel and Tom. And he bought a lovely third floor condo on Beach Parkway, which backs onto this canal with like boats and stuff. It had a really amazing view. He then, of course, made really good friends with the others in his building because that's just kind of the guy that Barry was. In 2023, one of Miguel's roommates, Sean, had invited him to a Cinco de Mayo party, and that is where he had met Christopher. Barry had some heart issues, and I believe he actually suffered a heart attack in 2023, sometime in there. So Christopher had moved in with him to kind of help him out. And after his heart attack, Barry had started walking. He changed his diet and was on a few medications. Like, he was making the changes to get his health in better shape, and he had also bought himself an iWatch to kind of keep track of his steps and his heart health in general. It's not really clear what Christopher expected the police to do when he couldn't get a hold of Barry. Like, he mentioned that he had received a text from him saying that he needed some space and that he was staying with friends for a few days. Now, he had done that before to Chris, like a few times before. And so Chris is scrolling through his phone to actually show them that. And he also mentions that the other day he saw on his Apple iWatch that he had left behind this text message from some guy about a dinner that they had had together. And he says that there's also some packages that must have, like, he must have come back and then put back into the apartment. And like, it's not actually weird that his Jeep was still there. Like, he had left on the night of the 19th in an Uber. So the police are kind of like, well, so you want us to track him down and find out why he's mad at you? Like, what he probably should have mentioned is that he left his meds behind. Like, that would be something that I would probably open with. So anyways, police leave saying to the effect of, okay, noted, thanks for letting us know. However, during the last couple of days, from the evening of the 19th of July, Christopher had been discussing his sudden ghosting of him with Miguel and Tom, and even sent them these screenshots of the last conversations that Barry had with Chris. On the night of the 19th, Barry and Chris had been out at this place called Cruisers. It's like a bar. And they had left there and then went home together. Now, Barry had then around 11 p.m. or maybe it was even after midnight, had gotten into an Uber and then left. And when Chris was sending him messages, they were kind of like, you know, like, what the fuck kind of messages. He had replied, this is Barry, had replied that he needed some space and that he was staying with a friend for a few days. So Chris had continued to try and text him and get, like, ask him to talk about it, but he had not been replying. Now, what Chris didn't know about this kind of sudden ghosting was that on the night of the 19th, while they were still at the bar or just as he was leaving and started walking home with Chris, kind of trotting after him, he had called Miguel and left him a voice message.
Hey, it's me. Give me a call. I need your help. I need to get rid of this idiot because I can't take it anymore.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Now, Miguel was at a dinner at the time, so he didn't answer the phone. The next morning, when Miguel listened to the message, he had assumed that he was going to be breaking up with Chris and that he needed his help trying to get him, like, out of the apartment, which Barry, of course, owned. Now, he tried calling him back when he got this message, but it just went to his voicemail. So when he had contacted Chris, Miguel had already also found it a little bit strange that Barry wasn't responding to him as well, since he was one of his best friends. So Miguel and Tom take a look at these screenshots of the messages that Chris sends them and notice something that seemed a little bit off to both of them. Chris's messages to Barry were along the lines of, can we please talk about it? Sorry, can you please answer me? That kind of thing, but with a lot of fuckity fuck fucks thrown in. And Barry kind of tended to talk with the same energy, you could say. Like, not aggressive sweary, but, like, I don't know. They were both just really heavy swearers. But in Barry's messages, he was just saying, like, I need some space, spend time with a friend. There was no fucks written. And when you know people, you know how, like, you know how they phrase things and what kind of punctuation they use and that kind of thing. And this was noticeable to both Tom and Miguel that it was strange. Like, it didn't sound like him. Tom and Miguel did a little bit of Agatha Christie moment, and they take the key that they had been given by Barry to head over to his apartment. They had a couple of packages that they were going to drop off for him anyways, so let's go do that. We'll take a little peeky-see at what's up. And this was now the next day, so the 21st. So Barry's Jeep is now gone, and there isn't anyone answering at the door, so they let themselves in. Now, they had a key because Barry had some health issues, and they were best friends. And they were like, well, what the fudge is going on here? This place is a mess. Like, there's clothing strewn around, dirt on the floor. There was a bunch of lights left on. Like, it wasn't at all the way Barry would have kept his place. Like, he was always very neat and tidy and very organized about things. Like, one of those everything in its place kind of people. It didn't appear to be ransacked or anything like that, but it was like somebody just being lazy and kind of slobbing around in there, which was definitely not Barry. So anyways, he clearly had not been there for a couple of days, they figure, and it's like no wonder Barry was starting to look to get rid of this guy because he was obviously a bit of a slob. So they leave the packages on the table for him and then they left. It had been the early afternoon on the 22nd when Chris had called to report him as ghosted because he didn't really say he was worried about him really. But by 8 o'clock that night, when Miguel, Tom, none of Barry's friends and family that Miguel knew had seen or heard from him, that's when Miguel and Tom reached out to the police. Now, and this time, based on the unusualness of him not reaching out to anyone, they took an official missing persons report and started looking into it. So the first thing they need to track down is his last movements. And both Miguel and Chris say that was probably the night of the 19th at that cruiser's bar. So they grab the video footage from there. And Chris says in the early morning, he had grabbed this Uber on the 20th. So that should be easy to track down as well to find out where he was going to. Well, when Tom and Miguel had come by on the 21st, Barry's Jeep had not been there. But on the 22nd, when the police came out to take Chris's report, it was back in the parking spot. And it was a Jeep, so it had some mud and kind of stuff on it, like lots of sand kind of around the back of it. And the doors were also left unlocked. Well, when Miguel learns about that, he's like, there's no way. Like, Barry was a clean freak about his car. Like, he did not, even though it was a Jeep, he did not use it for any kind of off-roading. It was like his baby to him. So Chris said, well, yeah, no, that was me. He had left the Jeep there, and so he had taken an Uber, so he used the Jeep to do some errands. Like, what kind of errands? Well, he went to Walmart, Walgreens, that kind of thing. Just errands, right? Well, in the mud. Well, it turns out that on the video footage from the bar, they can tell that Barry and Chris are having some kind of argument, like a disagreement type thing. And Barry leaves walking out the doors and then walking towards their place. no, that is likely, they think, when he made the call to Miguel. And then Chris is kind of trotting along behind him, catching up to him. And then they're just walking together. So that kind of tracks with what Chris is saying. It also tracks because surveillance footage was able to capture their entire journey home, which was uneventful from there. But there is no record of Barry calling for an Uber that night or that morning. And so Chris says, well, I didn't recognize the car. Like, maybe it was a friend of his or something, like some Grindr date or something like that. Yeah, maybe. So the police were also able to confirm that on the night of the 19th, Barry had also reached out to his friend back in Chicago, a woman named Rosalie Falco. Now, this text message was sent to her while they were still in the bar that night. Quote, I am at the bar with my boyfriend, but I am so done with the probably fucker. Please call me tomorrow. I miss you so much. So that's what he sent to her. And then she replied, okay, will do. Love you. Hang in there. And then Barry had said in another message a little bit later, it's okay. I love him. He's a knucklehead, but I can't wait to speak to you. I've had a few. Now, Rosalie had never met Christopher and didn't actually know his name, just that Barry had been dating someone, but she knew Barry well enough to know that Barry just wasn't kind of the guy to say, you know, I love him or that I've had a few drinks. It just didn't sound like him. The grammar and the punctuation were off as well. Now, Barry had paid for both his and Chris' drinks with his American Express card, and they had been able to get the receipt and pull his credit card transaction records to see if he had made any other purchases after the 19th. There was no data usage on his phone after 9:32 p.m. on the 19th.
Very early on in this missing person investigation, it became clear that Mr. Schmalbeck's disappearance was suspicious in nature. The results? This results in our team investigating the missing persons case as if it were a crime. You do this and work backwards from there. Nothing in this case to this point has led us to dial back from our initial belief that this was a crime in this criminal investigation. In fact, we believe that there is foul play in the disappearance of Mr. Schmalbeck. Mr. Schmalbeck has not been heard from or seen since the evening of July 19th, 2023, near the 1800 block of Beach Parkway East here in Cape Coral, near his home. Mr. Schmalbeck's boyfriend called the police department on the 22nd, to say that Barry was missing. The reporting party didn't give any indication that it was unusual or an exigent situation. In fact, he dialed back at the end of that call and tried to alleviate any fears that there was anything suspicious. But later in the evening, another friend of Mr. Schmalbeck called and reported that they too hadn't seen or heard from Mr. Schmalbeck, and they expressed great concern that this was not normal. He was reported missing on July 22nd, and very early on, because of the suspicious nature and the willful deceptive nature of that initial phone call, foul play was suspected, and our team of investigators began immediately working on this case.
So the police start asking around to, like, neighbors in the building, all of whom knew Barry pretty well, and a few had known Chris as well, but not as closely because he'd only been there for like a few months at that point. Neighbors are also nosy and they know stuff about you. Like, even if you think you're being secretive behind closed doors, they know when you normally come and go and where sometimes you're going and how you park and blah, blah, blah. And there's this one neighbor named Kim, no relation to me, that lived below them on the second floor. Well, you have to just kind of listen to what she has to say about that night and what she heard.
Did you know a gentleman by the name of Barry Schmalbeck?
Yes, he was my neighbor.
When you say neighbor, what do you mean by that?
He lived directly above my unit.
How long did you know Mr. Schmalbeck?
Since he moved in October, maybe.
How did you meet?
Just casually walking down the steps, saying hi, and then over the time, getting a little bit closer, go down to the pool and stuff like that. Just like a regular neighbor.
How would you describe this condo complex as far as people knowing everyone and that type of thing?
We used to joke that, or I joked that it was like Melrose Place. Everyone knew everyone and we all, you know, knew each other's schedules, where they were going, what they were doing. We knew everything.
Now, did there come a point in time on July 19th? I'd like to direct your attention specifically to somewhere between 8 and 9 o'clock in the evening time. Did anything unusual occur around that time on that date?
Yes, I was off of work that day, and I stayed in, and I was watching some TV, and between that time, I heard something directly right above my unit where I was sitting, because we, like I said, had the same floor plans. I heard something being thrown up against the wall and heard, no, no, no.
And did you hear anything after that?
Yeah, a couple minutes later, I heard this noise, and it gave me chills, like the hair on my arms. And it was, like someone losing their last breath.
Did you do anything after you looked outside and saw that Jeep miss him?
No, then I decided to go to bed.
Loves and knows her neighbors, doesn't call the police, doesn't even go upstairs to check on if everything's okay. Even knowing Barry has a heart condition and had already been hospitalized before, she doesn't call anyone. And she says she uses the term sent a chill down her spine, didn't call anyone. Then there's this other neighbor. Now, he says he woke up around 4 a.m. that morning to some noise outside of his apartment on the main floor, sounding like a tarp being dragged. He looks outside and he sees Chris dragging something heavy in a tarp along the ground, and then hears the sound of him starting up the Jeep and driving away in Barry's Jeep. Now, he didn't think to mention that to anyone either until a few days later. Now, I am going to give him a little bit of a pass on this. Like, if I called the cops every time I saw one of my neighbor's car, or like a car that I didn't recognize parked outside someone's house, or saw them doing something weird, I would look like a weirdo myself. Now, although there was this one time where my neighbor across the street, he had this big suitcase that was sitting outside near the hedge, like just sitting there for like a day or two in the snow. It looked big enough to fit a body in it, and it was weird that it was just kind of dumped there. Now, I did not call the cops about it, but I did send my husband over there to try and lift it and make sure that it didn't feel heavy enough to contain a body or parts of a body or anything. It did not. It was empty, so we left it alone. Anyways, it's suspicious when you find out later that someone is missing, but probably was just like regular weird at the actual time. But Kim, she should have called someone. She does not get a pass for me on that. So these little tidbits start having police taking a closer look at Christopher himself. Now, like, what's his deal? Well, it turns out he's a little bit dumb, because when he called to report Barry missing, he said his birthday was June 9th, but his actual birthday is June 8th. Oh, and he had also a couple of warrants out for him, one in South Carolina for a probation violation and one in Georgia, where he would later be extradited to face and serve a 5-year sentence out there. So, yes, maybe let's look a little bit closer at him. Now, I should probably mention here that Barry has not been located. In fact, as of the time of that I'm recording this, he still has not been found. But police are starting to think that he might not be alive anymore, and that this was not a missing persons case, but a homicide. And so they start to investigate it as such.
This results in our team investigating the missing persons case as if it were a crime. Nothing in this case to this point has led us to dial back from our initial belief that this was a crime in this criminal investigation.
So everything that I'm talking about here is evidence that they have compiled to build a circumstantial case that Barry has been murdered. As again, they have never been able to locate any actual physical evidence to find conclusively that Barry is either no longer alive or has been murdered. But the circumstantial evidence here is going to start piling up pretty good. And I'm kind of just putting this all together from the trial, which was only 4 days long, so I was actually able to watch the whole thing. But trials never really go in any kind of chronological order, so I'm kind of piecing together the testimony to try to put it into some kind of order for us here. So on July 20th, from Chris's phone, they saw that on the 20th in that morning, he had searched for a Walmart near him, which had returned to the Walmart on Del Prado Boulevard. So they start there. And at this Walmart on the 20th, Chris bought a 12 by 24 tarp, two rolls of duct tape, and a chocolate milk. Which is suspicious. Well, not the chocolate milk, but everything else. Footage from the parking lot shows that he had arrived driving Barry's Jeep. Now, that day, he had also called the PNC Bank and then pretended to be Barry, asking to link one of Barry's credit cards to his Apple Pay account. And he then rented online an Airbnb in his brother Tyler's name in Clewiston and using his brother's credit card to pay for it. The neighbor that saw him moving this heavy object, he had testified that at the time there was no light on in the stairwell when he saw him moving it. It was one of those motion sensor type lights. But then the light was later back on again and working. So they tested the bulb for prints and they had found some that matched to Chris's, that he had likely unscrewed the bulb to move the body without anybody seeing him and then screwed it back in. All allegedly. On the 21st, he went to the Home Depot in Clewiston to buy a shovel and a pickaxe. He then checked into the Airbnb in Clewiston that he had rented in his brother's name. Now, when he had registered for the place, he had sent a message to the owner saying, "Hi, I'm visiting family and I'm just looking for a nice, relaxing place to try it. To stay a while I travel, it'll just be me." And then, of course, registered in this name of Tyler Gamble, who is his brother. The next day, he kept sending messages to the host, like telling her what he was doing. Like, "I'm going for a run now," things like that. Now, she found that a little bit strange. She actually lived in the house across from the street from the one that she had rented out. And she did see a guy that was running, but he looked a lot more like Christopher than the guy in Tyler's profile picture that had registered for the place. She also testified that there was this black tote with no lid on it that was found outside near the trash. So on that same afternoon, Miguel and Tom had reported Barry missing. Barry had used to share his phone location with Miguel in case he had another health issue or something like that. And the phone said that it was at his place, like his Barry's place, and never moved until the 24th when it was powered off. So he had called Chris first and told him to make this missing persons report because no one was able to get a hold of him. Now in court, Miguel said he, as in Christopher, said that he thought he was with me and Tom because they had gotten into this argument and had left and was going to be with friends. Now, when he did call, he didn't call 911, but actually the non-emergency line. And on the 22nd, he then checks out of this Airbnb. And when the owners of the place go in to check on it, just see what kind of shape it's in, there was some matted down grass at the front near the driveway that looked like something had been kind of stored on the grass there. There was dirt, leaves, and sand all around the house, and the place was a little bit of a mess. Well, not a little bit of a mess. It was a mess. He had used Barry's Jeep to get there and back, and the owner had testified that the first thing that caught his attention was the sofa had been moved away from the wall. And then there was this debris and branches and stuff like that sort of on the side of this sofa. And that there was a lot of sand in the shower floor and in the bathtub as well. Now, that day he had headed back to the Home Depot and pulls around to the back instead of the parking lot and tried to put the pickaxe that he had purchased into the dumpster. But one of the employees caught him and stopped him from doing that. So the manager said, basically, you can't do that. And then he went back inside. So he instead leaned it against the recycling bin and then left. Now, the manager didn't discover it until the next day because he figured he had told him to get lost and thought he had gotten lost. So the text message that was reportedly from Barry to Chris saying that he needed some space, well, that turned out to have been sent from one of those apps where you can send text messages anonymously. On July 23rd, Chris purchased from another Home Depot a safe, like which was an exact replica of the one that Barry had at his house, along with some new locks and a swing bar. They then used his Apple Watch to try and track the location of Barry's phone, which told them that the phone supposedly was out back behind the apartment building somewhere. But they only ever managed to find his cell phone case that was discarded and not the phone itself. Now, the phone case that they had found, it was in the trash in this pink colored bag, that like plastic bag that had come from Barry's place. It also had bits of duct tape and some cleaning wipes in there. And the plastic wrapping that had been around the dolly that he had purchased was also found in the trash. The case, the cell phone case, did not match the phone that Chris had that had been seized, but would have fit the model of phone that Barry had. So the police had printed some items from inside Barry's safe, including a diploma he had. There was some bullets in there, some jewelry and some coins. And the fingerprints on that stuff came back as a match to Christopher's, as well as some prints that had been found on this bottle of cleaner that was found inside Barry's Jeep. Now, wait, we're not done. There's still more. On the 24th, Chris was arrested for the outstanding warrant charges that he had. And when photographed, he had some scratches that were pretty fresh on his hands, arms, ankles, and shins, which looked like he had been in some kind of dense prickle bushes, which is probably a Canadian term. It just means like scratchy branches and bushes, you know, like little prickle bushes. Anyways, he said it was because he was trying to put a leash on a cat, which is a really strange excuse to begin with, but there was also no evidence that Barry or Chris had any pets in the house at all. There was also some small cuts between his fingers and on his palms. He also had made an appointment to get some Botox and lip injections done, about $1,400 worth, and he had booked the appointment under the name of Tyler Gamble again, but instead used Barry's Amex card to pay for it. The receptionist at the place testified that he was very excited that he had been able to get this pedicure done while he was there. He was excited about getting his treatments done that day. He did not look concerned at all about his missing boyfriend. And on the 28th, so there was a landscaper at the condo complex where Barry had lived, had found Barry's wallet in a storm drain grate and had turned it in to the police. Now, he had been fertilizing in that area when he found it. And when he lifted the grate to the storm drain, there were also credit cards that had belonged to Barry in the wallet. The landscaper had heard the name, like Barry's name, on the news and then turned it over to the police right away. Now, Pasco County Sheriff's Office had a canine unit, so one of their cadaver dogs, Indy, was brought in to sniff around the Jeep. Indy's sole job is to detect human decomposition. So they set up four vehicles in the parking lot of the police station, including Barry's Jeep, and Indy sat down at the back of the Jeep, like Barry's Jeep, and barked as an indication that she had found something. She did not, however, find anything back at the condo or at the Airbnb that Christopher had stayed at. There was a second dog, Fi, that was also used to make sure that it wasn't like a false alert, and he also alerted to the trunk area of the Jeep. So Christopher Davis had been extradited to South Carolina to answer to the charges from his parole his probation violation and was sentenced to 5 years. Now, in January of 2024, he was charged with one count of second-degree murder and tampering with evidence and criminal use of personal identification. And of course, this was all based on the circumstantial evidence that they had collected that Barry had been murdered despite not being able to locate his remains. So he was then extradited back to Florida again to stand trial on the murder charges. Now, the defense attorney, Joseph Miskowich, argued that the state was just pointing the finger at Christopher without any evidence against him, and that they were painting him out to be this criminal mastermind, and that he, if he was a mastermind, he wouldn't have gone to places like Walmart or ATMs or those kinds of things that could be traced to him if he had been guilty. But after 4 days of testimony and evidence, the jury only took a couple of hours to convict him, and he was sentenced to life in prison. He has refused thus far to give up the location of Barry's body to give his family any sense of closure. So although they received, you know, justice for his murder, they don't have a final resting place for Barry, who sounds like he was a great guy and a lot of fun to have been around. Someone that really cared about his family and friends and, you know, made sure to reach out to them often so that they knew that he was thinking about them. Like, he just sounds like an all-around great guy. And that was the sad murder of Barry Schmalbach. And I'm going to be back again next week with another case, another terrible, awful case. In the meantime, leave your comments below. And as always, thank you so much for listening.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.